Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, January 24, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have with me my regular Tuesday co-host. You either love him or hate him, but he is a myth, both a myth and a legend already around RBN circles. I don't know, it looks like we're waiting for him to connect, so we'll see when he joins. But we have a special guest with us today, folks. I've had him on our Friday roundtable and been on a platform shared with him in previous years. We have Mr. Davis Lerman here today as our guest, folks. Hey, welcome, Davis.
Hey, how are you, Richard?
Oh, very good, very good. Yes, I didn't have a chance, of course, because it was a roundtable format, you know, to get too much background on you for the listeners. But I enjoyed your shows back when we were both on Renegade Broadcasting. That was, what, about 2017 to 2018 or so I was on there. And I think you were on for at least a good little while prior to myself. But I had lost touch since then, and I found out you were on Renegade Broadcasting doing a show, continuing actually the same show name, Right Perspective, so people could find the archives perhaps. And I know you can for Renegade, so type in Davis Lerman, L-U-R-M-A-N-N, you'll find those for sure. But
and sometime on Revolution as well. I think a lot of that stuff's on Mammy's, Mammy's S-H-I-T. It's the GrismBlogspot.com. He's a good aggregator. He's got some stuff. Your stuff's in there. Yeah, so there's good stuff in there.
Nice, nice. And yeah, we heard some more of your, updated perspectives so far on the roundtable. But I mean, before getting into anything political or anything current, perhaps you could give us a bit of a bio and background on yourself. I usually like to do that with the guest for the first time. So I don't know if you would, to whatever extent you feel appropriate, sir.
Sure. Well, living in lovely Delaware here, I spent some time on a local Delaware radio station. It was called WGMD. They pride themselves as some sort of blowtorch of Delmarva, which is Delmarva. It means Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. That's where it reached. And actually, I sometimes had calls from southern New Jersey when people were coming over from the Cape. Okay. So anyway, that's how far it went. I'm not sure of the actual listenership. They paid for Nielsen stuff, but I don't know if I trust any of that. They also did some crazy calculation with the number of calls you get. Each caller is representative of 100 listeners or some not. Anyway, it was a highly rated show, whatever that meant on Delmarva. And anyway, so I ran into some trouble with my mouth. But I had a pretty good slot and eventually just left that over disagreements with the program director and decided years later to get back into – that's broadcasting, you know, the whole over-the-air FM licensure thing. I decided to try my hand at narrowcasting because actually what I really felt in broadcasting was that the people that would call in, it's as if you're starting from zero every time. It was terribly frustrating. In addition to, like I mentioned, the commercial clock was crazy. The callers just, I mean, a lot of them are great, but then you get the same great caller over and over again. And the new callers, it was kind of like I said, just starting from zero all over again. It's like, I wasn't even trying to push the J question then. I wasn't, you know, sitting in a meditative position, om, saying, you know, picture a J-shaped light switch turning off. I wasn't doing any of this. I was simply trying to discuss how, you know, neither the left or the right, it's that great. Okay, we need to start really advocating for what makes a material, positive, good in our lives. Way back then, I was asking the question, like, this is like 2007 and 8. I was asking the question, like, how does this make our children's lives better? Why is it my kids are going to grow up and can't afford to live in the neighborhood they're growing up in? Like, what's going on here? And just even those questions were too much, you know, for everybody. Because it's all about you know, ignore those hard questions, ignore those things that might make a positive material change for you and your children. Don't do any of that. Instead, let's just switch the programming to Sean Hannity and cue Let Freedom Ring, You're a Great American, you know, attack your enemies in advance, because that's what America does, so it makes you a great American. You know, like Sean Hannity does. That's who ultimately replaced a lot of the slots over there. Yeah, that's the kind of thing that goes on in broadcasting. Narrowcasting was pretty cool. I had a lot of fun. But even then, not so much a program director. You ran into certain strictures, because then one single individual owns the website. And, yeah, I think Kyle and Sinead are great, by the way. I do, so I'm not knocking them. I just don't think Kyle has the same sense of humor as me. So, anyway, that's how that went. I thought sense of humor was an important thing, because I think you need to mix this, what is sometimes terribly distasteful information, with a little fun, a little humor. I know that's hard for a lot of people to balance, and maybe it's hard for a lot of people to take. But I don't know. I just think 2 hours of just, you know, serious nonsense, it'll make people pull their hair out and get depressed. So anyway, my type of humor was not for him. So that's where that falling out came. And then Revolution Radio, I tried to stick to the rules and stuff. I did pretty well, but then I just couldn't keep up with the schedule, with other obligations. And so that fell off. Anyway, I'm looking to get back into it, but I'd really need the perfect match of, oh, this is a good opportunity to mention. If anyone's out there who sees themselves kind of as a co-host and producer, someone who can literally help me, maybe helping us with the social medias, try to make some penetration on YouTube. I've got a great idea. I don't want to say too much about it, but I've got a great idea about how to actually do some real impingement and narrative damage to the right. You know, this phony Republican right. And mind you, I'm not a leftist. I'm just too far right for the rightists. So I think it's a good thing to do is to really mention who the enemy is. The conservatives are the enemy of all of us because they stand in the way of real representation. And you're not going to get real representation until we somehow show the Republican Party for what it is. It's fake and gay. And this American democracy is so fake and gay, George Santos proves it, even our gay is fake.
And you also have, of course, a lot of influence from, well, a gentleman with a rather serious tone, Dr. William Luther Pierce, you cited when you were doing your shows on Renegade. You felt a certain kinship as well, because he was, well, heavily accredited in the discipline of physics, and you yourself as well. Isn't that correct? You had taught physics in the past?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a background, but actually I didn't feel a lot of intellectual kinship with Pierce because he had like this cosmology type of religion thing going on. I couldn't really get with that. But I respect him as an individual who, let's face it, when someone puts that sort of will to action, makes it happen, and had very little in the way of Fed penetration. I think that's pretty incredible, frankly. It's pretty incredible. I know he had some, and that wasn't his fault, and when people leak records and they do underhanded things. But still, what he had put together was pretty impressive. If I felt any sort of kinship with anyone, I'm more of a Tom Metzger guy. Not that Tom Metzger's perfect or anything, but let's face it. Tom Metzger was a California guy, a solid white dude with a good family. He's got children who love him, running a business, and he's doing this war thing on the side, you know, the white Aryan resistance, which of course is like a Lincoln Rockwell sort of intentionally provocative name. He wasn't going to war with anybody except with his words. And yeah, Metzger was one of these guys who, for some reason, the media saw as, whoa, he's just way past Duke even. He's crazy. And it's only because he mixed humor with some of these terrible facts in a way that Duke doesn't, you know. So Tom Metzger, folks should look him up. Gosh, I don't even know if he's still alive. But, yeah, he was pretty influential. I mean, just the way he was so dogged and stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he passed.
I think we have Paul in California with us now. Am I trusted Tuesday co-host. Hey, Paul. Okay.
Good. Yes, I've been listening in. I had a couple of good gulps of cold Colombian coffee before the show. I'm ready to contribute. It's nice to have Davis on the air.
And hello, Paul.
I will just add that the thing about Pierce, when you listen to him enough, he has a kind of clarity. That's the thing that is most striking. Obviously, a comprehensive mind. I'm in agreement with Davis. I don't care for the whole cosmotheism. It's interesting, and I don't deny there's probably elements of accuracy in it. The truth is a hard word to use. But what William Pierce brought, anybody who listened to him could understand what it was he was saying and trying to communicate. And he brought a certain passion without being over-the-top dramatic, like Alex Jones and other people. And, I also agree with your assessment of Metzger versus some of the others. And interesting to note, I have it on authority that Tom Metzger couldn't stand David Duke, and there was a number of others.
Yeah,
number of others in the white nationalist community that felt the same way.
And were you also always racially aware since you were a child, Davis?
Well, I wouldn't say as whatever they call it now, woke or red pill. Yeah, I mean, obviously, as you grow older, you're kind of like, these things get pointed out. Yeah, but I knew pretty early on that. Just as young, black children would know, we're very different people. That's all. There was an incident with a gang of these, 18 of these guys, beating white kids up and taking whatever they could. I was a victim of that along the way. And then nothing happened in the way of punishing the blacks. This is way back then, this is me with, a young Davis in a Long Island high school with his grandfather's shortwave radio listening to white Aryan resistance broadcast when he could. We're talking pre-internet stuff, right, really, or just the beginnings with bulletin boards that were mostly full of Bill Cooper alien stuff. So it was very early then, and I felt like, this guy gets it. And then, of course, a few years later, the riots, L.A. riots happened, just confirming all white people's biases. Like, these are pretty savage, brutal people who are quick to anger and slow to understand everything. And that's when I learned way back then. It's not some sort of deep empathy. I just understood, when these folks say it's exhausting dealing with white people, I believe blacks. I believe you. It's probably exhausting. Yep. And that's why we shouldn't live together. And when they say, you just don't get it, you white people. Yes, we don't get it. You're right. We shouldn't live together. Yep. You keep making my goddamn point, and you won't get away from us.
And a lot of people in the post-Duke era, if you will, gives a significant credit to Dr. Kevin MacDonald, even more so really for his academic research and focusing on genetics and evolutionary racial psychology, if you will. I don't know what you have to say on Dr. MacDonald.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, MacDonald was, think about it. I realize he had whatever security of tenure was back then, but we've all seen how that's turned out. That could have been really ugly for him, He could have lost everything just even flirting with the topic, so I give him respect for that. And it is an academic work, let's face it, so it contributes to the literature in a meaningful way, quote unquote. That's what people who have their doctorates are supposed to do, and that's what he does, as opposed to what we have now, where you can hardly say someone who's writing a 400-page doctoral thesis on gender equity in dogs in a park at Central Park in New York and all of this, that's not really contributing to the literature in a meaningful way. But you can certainly say Dr. MacDonald did. And that's a trilogy, by the way. If folks really want to get become learned, as they say, you can check out MacDonald's books. There's also there's a couple of race realist type writings. There's one called The G Factor. Truly academic work, but it'd be great to have, because when you find a used copy, you want to grab it. It's hard to get. It's not one of those books they want you to have, because the G factor means G as in general intelligence. And for a while, I had a contract with public schools where I was testing with the Whistler and Sages and stuff, these type of mental measurements. That was actually the name of the position, is mental measurements. When people had a concern about, you know, having a gifted program, this is what they used to do. Now, of course, we can't have that. You know, you can't say the gifted, especially when the bulk of the people who would qualify for the gifted classes were white kids. So, yeah, so that's why that went away. But when I had that position, I was learning a lot about the mental measurements that have been taken over the years. They're truly revealing. It is undeniable, quote-unquote, science. It's truly, it is the it's statistical, it's diagnostic, and it's scientific. In other words, everyone's given the same test and the same conditions for the same duration. It is undeniable that the people running around, these human baboons in people clothing, are on average about an 83 IQ. That's just the facts. That's just how it is, which might explain why it's so frustrating. I'm exhausted dealing with white. Yes, I'm sure it is frustrating and exhausted to not be accommodated in a culture that's not made for you. You know what I mean? So little by little, instead of fixing anything with the separation of peoples who are constantly in conflict, this government has seen fit to propagandize all of us and make sure we're forced to live together so that the culture somehow degrades itself. So eventually maybe Shaquina won't be so exhausted dealing with white people.
Paul, where would you like to steer the conversation?
Well, you know, I was just having an interesting thought listening to this, and Davis and I have talked before, and we were actually talking earlier today about what we, as in we white people, Aryans, bring to the world. And I was thinking in terms of coffee. Now, here you have just a very simple thing. You know, it's a plant. It's a little bean that grows on a plant. But it took white people to make it a worldwide industry, you know, not just only a fad, but we've essentially built entire businesses, fortunes, and an industry over this simple thing, just because of our creativity. We have places you can go and sit down and use, you know, a computer or read a book and be in comfortable decor and have conversations with other people. In many cases, there might even be a fake fireplace involved with, you know, either electricity or even a real flame from natural gas. And you know, all the things, the level of enjoyment and comfort and accoutrements that white people can bring, this is what these non-whites want from us. They don't happen to like the fact that we, in general, are taller, better looking, and naturally receive favoritism in the world wherever we go because of the fact of who we are and what our reputation is. And I can tell you, when I've traveled abroad just briefly in non-white countries, I've always got a lot of eye attention. In other words, you know, 6'2", I got blue eyes, and, you know, decently put together. And I remember in particular when I went to Korea, and you don't see a lot of diversity in Korea. People would come up to me, okay? I mean, they obviously see me, know who I am, what I am. And if you read the travel blogs of other white people wherever they go in different countries, you'll see them testify, or you can actually see on video, similar experiences. So on the one hand, they admire us and respect us, but then they come to these countries that the Jews control the media, they control the mindset, and they turn them against us.
We'll be right back. We're on the hard break.
Crime-fighting, political science, analyzing broad. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with my Tuesday co-host, Paul in California, and our guest today, Davis Lerman. And I'll kick it over to you, sir. What did you want to address?
Just real quick, the book I could not remember. I can't believe I didn't remember this. It's one of the most important books I'd have in my library. It's Rushton. It's Philip K. Rushton, Race, Evolution, and Behavior. He was a Canadian psychologist who's basically into racial science. When people talk about R and K theory, he was really popularizing that. Rushton popularized the RK selection theory about how essentially making a taxonomy of humans and how they interact with their environment as a result of evolutionary pressures, kind of like a psychobiology type of thing, where someone's psychology is obviously influenced by the place they grow up in generation after generation, and this might explain why some people are folks that don't plan more than a day ahead, let's say, and others are long-term planners. If you're a white person in Norway before all of the luxuries we have, well, you'd have to really plan ahead, otherwise you're going to starve, But if you're walking around a fairly temperate zone that constantly has, fruit falling from the trees, you're not really planning ahead. What's the point? So anyway, that's the essential of it. And it's also a very analytical book that's discusses IQ a lot. So get that one. And then really quick, just on important books, I wanted to mention this one. This is a great book. For the folks who are questioning, what is this thing we live in now, this fake and gay capitalism, quote-unquote capitalism, there's a book from the 1940s called The Managerial Revolution by Burnham, and everyone should read that. Pretty incredible book. He cuts to the quick on, even back then, he saw all the signs of how, quote-unquote, capitalism was really just becoming this morass of propaganda and ideologies under a bewildering variety of slogans and ostensible motivations you must convince the public of, you know, this kind of thing. So it was kind of like as soon as capitalism met Edward Bernays, we have fake and gay democracy today. So this is really the outcome of it. And also, of course, read Bernays' Propaganda. That's a very important book. Anyway, yep, so that's it for the reading list, everybody. That's your homework.
No, great selections there. And Paul, you were kind of cut off abruptly at the end of the last segment. I think you got your final point out regarding these people ultimately turning against us. So I think your final note. And you wanted to get some of Lerman's responses to some of the current news and, you know, just some feedback from the news cycles. I sent a couple of stories in the Skype here, which you may have had in mind as some of those. So I don't know, Lerman, did you hear about this bill? Well, clearly she didn't come up with it herself. She was given to it by Zog, but Sheila Jackson Lee is proposing in the House.
Ah, yes, America's greatest thinker and scholar. Yes, Sheila Jackson Lee. But please elaborate. No, I'm not sure if I... Is this the gun thing? Everyone's going crazy about the gun thing.
May I elaborate quickly, Richard? Yeah.
You may, Paul.
So basically, what she's proposing is some sort of legislation that would punish white people, and basically only white people, for saying unkind things about non-whites. Do I have that right, Richard?
Yes, so she would... It would criminalize criticism of a non-white person by a white. If this could lead to a so-called hate crime, right? Individuals could be charged with white supremacy-inspired hate crimes for crimes or plots they have no actual knowledge of. Say someone on the radio, like us, says something, and then they say, "Oh, it inspired what they call a white hate crime that someone else does out there."
My quick contribution here. You talk about the radio to prison pipeline. That's where we're in right now. We're in the radio to prison pipeline.
It also includes that you could not speak critical of immigration or talk about great replacement theory, white replacement.
Of course not. Can't discuss any real problems because then it might be revealed that she's a subpar person. She's expired equipment, and here she is trying to... Wow, that's amazing. So yeah, I'm looking at it now. I kind of can't believe it, but it's on this thing called IWB Investment Watch. Is this real? I don't know.
Oh, I feel like I'm... Here's the thing that's interesting to note, and I'm sure you'll agree as soon as I say it, but everybody's heard about this world of inversion. You know, that what these people like to do is not just invert, destroy, but invert reality. So we, white people, are basically the problem solvers. We are the solution. But now they're trying to make us to be the problem. And, of course,
It's real. I'm looking at the bill, H.R. 61.
Yeah, no, we have two sources. Those are both pretty good, even though the one's a blog. Here, check it out some more. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour break, folks, with more of your feedback and commentary. When I'm through with my accumulator.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Tuesday co-host, Paul in California, and our guest today, Mr. Davis Lerman. And one more that I shared in the Skype there. San Francisco City Panel urges reparations of $5 million per black adult. Where is this money going to come from? Surely they can figure out how it'll only come from white taxpayers or some such, I'm sure. Now, I don't expect either of these to pass. The corporations, though, are really enforcing all this race conditioning and brainwashing. Same with the gay agenda, transgender, all this. And, of course, the schools with the children. And I think a generation from now, they bring these around again, they may actually pass when they have enough people beaten down from the social engineering and indoctrination another generation or so onward. Those are my thoughts on it. But Paul, where would you like to, how would you like to frame this before we direct it to Lerman's feedback?
Well, I'll tell you how I'd like to frame it, the way that I have framed it for a long time, but I don't know if I've done it in this particular way on your show, so make it clear again. This is why I've always appreciated the clarity of a William Pierce or even a Tom Metzger to understand what it is we're involved in. Is everybody familiar with the opening scene in 2001, A Space Odyssey, where essentially two groups of, pre-human, hominids are engaged in a conflict over essentially a watering hole? That's how I took it. That's how I took the scene. And, you know, it's an amazing movie in many ways, but that opening scene has always stuck with me. And, of course, when I did read David Duke's book, My Awakening, and also Jewish Supremacism. He touches upon, the natural world and the struggles that are part of it. And, of course, the National Socialists spoke about these things, too, the natural order, and that there is a struggle. And, of course, William Pierce very clearly said that in order to, protect our own and to, have our own culture, that we need to take and hold territory and to exclude others. And we can be as intellectual as we like, and we can know history, and we can share knowledge. But in the end, this is not an academic struggle. It is indeed a struggle for existence, and that's why politics, in my opinion, don't mean anything at all when they are engaged in this war of flooding our country with untold numbers of non-whites that are extremely useless in our society. And as Joe Biden famously said in that clip, never ending, a constant stream, if you recall that clip. So that's what needs to be borne in mind, in my opinion.
Davis?
Yes, so I finally got to read what is the introduction of this this bill. I can't believe it's been out around since January 9th, 2023. I don't know how this got by everybody. But here it is. They do this shortened title. The act may be cited as, quote, Leading Against White Supremacy Act of 2023. See, that was brilliant marketing there. This definitely was not written by the same woman who thought men landed on Mars a few years back. Yeah, she did that because she knows that this is the new buzz term. It's to even disagree that white supremacy exists or is a worse pandemic than the COVID. That you're crazy if you just don't know this. It's just a given. So obviously we got to pass the bill, because to deny this bill would be meaning you're accepting hate crimes by white supremacists if you don't pass this bill. See what she did there? It's kind of like the Patriot Act. That was pretty brilliant. You call it that. Well, you're not a patriot. You disagree. Meanwhile, there are sections in the Patriot Act, I know for a fact, that just says, any crime in any state can be considered terrorism if deemed so, by a given, ranking Justice Department official. It's like, well, that's not really good. So, if Paul ran a light, the guy in the Justice Department says, well, he ran that light on his way to buy nails. And you know what nails are part of? Pipe bombs. And so you see what they can do, which is stochastic. And this is part of the stochastic terrorism, too. This is very, very important to understand. For folks who don't understand this crazy word made up by the ADL years ago, stochastic terrorism means that you and I having a discussion right now publicly about how, listen, we don't get along with some people. Some people are just have fundamental incongruencies with our culture. And so all this proximity is causing conflict. We should just separate and then we can have a better life. If we say that, what we're actually doing as white separatists, we're terrorists now. Because, see, if someone is inspired by our discussion to write some crazy manifesto and then carry out a terrible crime, if it traces back to this conversation, we're engaged in stochastic terrorism. That's what the ADL wants to do to you. It's coming. And this is why we got to get rid of the Republican Party. Do you see anyone in the Republican Party not just agreeing with the ADL stochastic terrorism definition? That will pass, just like this thing. But this may not pass because it's just so blatant, but this will be incarnated, reiterated, and they will slip in this nonsense about white supremacy inspired hate crimes, which is fundamentally an absurdity, by the way. Years ago, I was shocked to learn, it's still the case, by the way, that there is no federal codified definition of hate crime. And yet here it is in a congressional bill. You know how they do that? How they do that is, well, we can cite Title 18, which makes it a crime for a person acting under what's called color of law. That's a phrase, to willfully deprive a person of, let's say, their rights by the Constitution. It's really an infringement of civil rights. Let's just put it plainly. The Civil Rights Act is always cited when they want to say hate crime. So what they're really saying when they say white supremacist hate crime is, oh, you've infringed upon someone's civil rights. That's what they're saying. But when they codify it this way, I can tell you stochastic terrorism is not far behind, especially with all of the exaggeration about white supremacy is the most dangerous thing in our country. Yeah, I think we all. I don't need to go through the endless statistics about how well most of the shooters are actually not white, and if you include random black mass shootings in your data set, well, suddenly it looks like whites are the most peaceful people on earth, even those who shoot Walmarts up. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like none of this is working for them. They need to continue to double, and now the Jays are in the phase of triple down. They are tripling down on their absurdity, which it's crazy. It's working. I guess COVID really did break a lot of people's brains. There are people running around just in this either or, you know, either they're all in on one thing or the other, which has been the problem, like going back to the radio days from the beginning. You can't just say, oh, I agree with my team because their team's so bad. Well, your team sucks, too. Your team doesn't even like you. Your team's not the least bit concerned if you have a better life. So what are you doing supporting this team? What we need, my vision of the future, by the way, as an American futurist, because really this America we know now with the fake and gay democracy, this America must die if white people are to live. This is not an America for white people. Whatever this has become, the FG, fake and gay America, whatever this has become, it's not conducive to the existence of white people, in case you haven't noticed. So maybe we need America 2.0. Maybe we need to Balkan. I don't know about all those discussions. Okay. I'm not a political philosopher. I'm just telling you something needs to happen positive for white people. Otherwise, we may not be around much longer, frankly. That's just how it is.
And Go ahead. I was going to say, I just wanted to key on this one word, too. That was a great little speech there, by the way, Davis. Broken their brains. You know, we were talking earlier about the average brain power of the a term that Davis used that I had not heard before, the average midwit. We have dimwits, but we also have a lot of midwits. And it's hard for them to fathom exactly what's going on, as Davis just laid it out. But, of course, this is all meant for us. He's exactly correct. It's only going to get worse. They're already erasing our not just our history, but they're erasing our presence. You know, anybody who's seen the ads and advertising, whether it's televised or even print ads, white people are few and far between now. Every single ad that I see, even in the pictures and posters in stores, is of some version of non-white or mixed-race people. And I don't think we're that far away. I mean, they're openly declaring. I mean, right out, like you said, tripling down. I'm not sure how far we are from what happened in Rwanda. It's worth noting the Rwandan genocide, you know, the Tutsis and the Hutu or whatever. The government openly advocated the killing of whatever was the minority that was persecuted. I forget who was the one that took the brunt of that. But over the radio, the government said it's time to basically take care of business with these people. And how far off away are we from that?
So indeed, Rwanda, South Africa, these are certainly canaries in the coal mine. And we have so much astroturfed, artificially constructed precedent for this white supremacy gaslighting we're being fed. I mean, from Dylann Roof to Charlottesville, January 6th now. You know, I see we have a couple of callers in the queue. Is there something else you want to add, Davis, before we take some calls?
Just real quick, because in context, it's probably important to mention. So all this business about you know, white supremacy, blah, 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 and overrepresentation, blah, blah, blah. You know, there are billions of people on the planet, and white people are the minority shortly after the Little Hat J-O-O tribes and, you know, and like weird Aborigine and Native American type tribes. Okay, so we are a planetary minority, and yet everyone's walking around the impression like, ah, it's all right. I mean, hey, if we go the way of the dodo, that's plenty of white. No, there's really not. There's not. This is a yellow, brown, and black planet, with the exception of what used to be tiny carve-outs. You know, America's big, but compared to the rest of the world, it's not that big, okay? And the rest of the places, forget it. I mean, UK is an island, for God's sake, right? So let's not kid ourselves. This is a threat. So forget all this stuff about environmentalism. We're talking about genetic destruction. You may no longer exist. And the people who are advocating for this are too dumb to realize that the quality of their progeny's lives will severely decrease if we disappear.
Well, very well
said, Adam. Just saying, that's the facts.
Well, very well said. Let's try to take a couple calls. James in Vancouver. Hey, welcome, James. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon. Well, you can see quite clearly that white population is being killed by these so-called vaccines, and they're being maimed genetically, if not killed. And then in the heart of Caucasia, you talk about Caucasians, in the heart of Caucasia, we have good white Ukrainian people shooting at good white Russian people, you know, or shooting back, and we've got white people killing each other. See the irony there? Now, another example would be D-Day. 1944, there was no reason why Eisenhower had to dump all those troops on the beach. He could have flown them 10 miles inland, something like that, but no. They had to Holocaust them on the beach, you see how it works? So this has been going on a long time. For most of the 20th century and until today, and even before that with like the Napoleonic Wars, you have to ask yourself, what the hell is going on? Which is what I think you guys are, you know, trying to do here. So if the people of Ukraine want their freedom, they got to get rid of Zelensky and that outfit, you see. This is how
frankly, that's very complex because half of Ukraine wants one thing and the other half wants another. So,
well, they really, want the land, of course.
Thing to get to,
because
you know,
my family came from the Ukraine, okay? South of the Ukraine.
I understand.
So I know about this kind of thing.
Okay, yes.
And what
sure,
you do saying. Is you get people hating each other for no good reason, see?
Well, it's a pretty good reason when my boss has been shelled since 2014, bro. So whatever. Okay, I'm just saying. Yep, the one half wants one thing, the other half wants another. It's very complicated.
What would be the difference between Adolf Hitler and Ernst Röhm, in your opinion?
Oh God. Okay.
I'll tell you what the difference is. Ernst Röhm had the scars on his cheeks, the schnitzer, but Hitler didn't. Okay, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Hitler wasn't gassed with mustard gas. Hitler wasn't a war hero with multiple accommodations. Yes, he was to take the J-O-O line. Hitler was a one-ball coward who wanted to bang his mom or some. Yeah, let's do this again. Tired, old nice enough guy, but that's what I'm talking about. You think that's something? Wait till you were on, if you're on FM radio, baby. You want ice-cold takes? That was a chilly take, but I've dealt with ice-cold takes. Yeah, fighting about COVID, that was his first thing. Yeah, let's do that. That's something that no one seems to mind us fighting about COVID. That's weird. Maybe there's something more important we could be discussing. What do you think? And then the other ice cold takes of, white people fighting white people. Yep, no more brother wars. Yep, it's been said over and over. Yep, now what?
You know,
what's the solution?
I think that just brief drop in here, we don't want to do too much bashing of callers, but I completely understand what you're saying. But I think one of the main things that I took away from reading Mein Kampf is one of the lines, you know, similar to what you were saying earlier in the show, Davis, about your admiration for Luther Pierce and what he decided to do, what he basically set out to accomplish. There's a passage in Mein Kampf where Hitler basically says that, you know, he saw the work that needed to be done, and he decided, I set about to do it or to accomplish it. And this is the kind of mindset that we need. You know, there's obviously some things, some work, some organization building that has to be done. And what's so important to all of us to remember is that we must set about a task to accomplish it. Otherwise, we're just going to be spectators to what's being done to us. Anyway, we've got another caller, maybe?
Yeah, any leader, by the way, needs to do that. And I don't care if you love Abraham Lincoln, ask yourself this question. If you're a big Abe Lincoln fan, do you think Abe Lincoln would have been discussing COVID instead of going about his tasks? Do you believe that, honestly? Okay, well then, maybe we should be discussing something else. Maybe something that's really important. Okay, I'm not saying COVID's unimportant. I'm just saying, frankly, whatever that horse is, baby, it's out of the barn. Can we move on to what's important?
Well, here we have one more commercial break, then we'll take the last caller. Stick around, folks, in the final segment.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
We're back for the final segment, Beyond the Official Narrative, here at Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Tuesday co-host, Paul in California, and our guest today, Davis Lerman. Davis, you mentioned you have some ideas to brainstorm regarding strategies and just approaches with the video platforms, other content producers and hosts out there who might be interested. What's the best way someone can contact you?
All right, so if you go through the emails to davislerman@gmail.com, I don't check it terribly often, but I'll see you. Or if they send something to you, maybe you'd forward it to me or Paul. I believe Paul will be in touch with my info. Yeah, so that's I've got an idea. Imagine something like something called a conservative review, right? But what it does is, in a very passive way, subverts the conservative narrative, exposing it through news analysis. Exposing it for the paper tiger it is, and really the false representation of your interests. So I think that would be terribly important. And that'll probably get the lefties coming, because they'd be like, oh, once they hear this guy doesn't like conservatives, maybe we'd get some of the Jimmy Dore left to start thinking critically about incontinuities in races and how we really maybe we're not getting along, so we shouldn't be together. We can get some of those folks and maybe chip away at some of the more thoughtful conservatives, you know, the folks who are saying like, well, I know something's wrong. I just don't know what is it. I mean, I feel like I'm not represented, and we can tell them why they're not and what has to happen. My vision of a future America is one where they have federal polls and there are tumbleweeds because no one shows up. And that's the only way we'd ever have a vote of no confidence to say, okay, whatever this is not working. No one's even bothering to vote for you. It's literally the only way to send a message. We don't believe in you. We don't even know what you're doing. You're pretending to do stuff, but you're not doing anything for us. It's the only way to do that. And I think that's what we need to do. And sure, state politics still very important. Local politics, terribly important. Local politics. Yes, that's my take on that. And what I would need is essentially a co-host and someone who can help popularize it through the social media platforms and post stuff on YouTube. And that would be the vision. Pretty simple vision.
Well, thank you for your time here today. And yeah, I don't know. Desperate times call for desperate measures. You know, you may have to upset the Ben Shapiro fans and the Tucker Carlson fans out there, Davis.
Yeah, which, by the way, is not a pleasant thing for them. So, you know, I plan on getting attacked a lot. I really don't care. But nothing would please me more than to have these adherents to start having to think about why you never get anything you want. You know, if I was just born yesterday and said, I'm going to join the political party that wins, I think we all know we'd be joining the Democrat Party. Because say what you want about them, they get what they want.
We'll have to have you back again soon. Thank you again, Davis, and thanks, Paul. Folks, please support the network to keep all this possible. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate page. Plenty of ways to help out to keep this canary in the coal mine of free speech alive. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.